What's up, guys? Another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. As always, on a Tuesday morning, I'm joined by my good friend Rob Gray. It's the seniors. What's up, dude?
Not much. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
I've been a little bit sort of, I don't know how to call it, under the weather.
I can kind of hear it in your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
That there's just... You just got your head a little stuffed
it's
up.
It's a general malaise. It's what Jimmy Carter used to call his presidency. Yeah, just kids came down with something. Not sure what it was. It's colored my days in recent memory, but I'll be back on my feet. Maybe make a trip to Wheatsfield, rejuvenate myself.
There you go. I hope that it doesn't slow you down from achieving your goal of a 50-mile bike ride.
Oh, that'll happen.
That'll happen?
Oh, yeah.
So where are you, like, if you're going to do that, where are you going to ride to? Like, what kind of route would you do?
I'll either do some combination of trails, or I will do a day of Ragbri.
Okay.
I did a full Ragbri several years ago when I was a younger man. Probably when I was only about 15 years older than you, versus being as ancient as I am now. But we'll make that work. Got to get myself, once you set that baseline for fitness, mm-hmm. and if you can adhere to it, I mean, you're good for a long time. Fortunately, I have muscle memory from lifting and all that. I'm going to get back to lifting. I'm going to be the fittest 47-year-old. Rolling into Jack Dry Stadium to cover it. I don't know if I'll be fully back for Ragbri, but okay. I'll be on my way.
So sure. When the UNI Panthers arrive for opening season of football,
yep,
Rob Gray will look like a WWE wrestler.
Something like that, yes.
Next time they come to Des Moines, we'll see if we can get you in as a special guest.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. That'd be fantastic.
We need to get C-Dub in there as a special guest.
He should be in as a special guest because he could talk the game
right.
and do the whole thing. Like Keith Murphy had that funny video where the news had stolen his sports story and Chris could have some phony outrage bit that he threw up there for them. I think everyone would enjoy it.
Even Hawk fans.
I
don't even know who any wrestlers are, but... He could just be mad at some wrestler.
Yeah, he could be talking crap to him. That'd be fun.
Call us up, WWE. We'll get it set up.
For sure.
So you've got a new... Actually, first, I better mention this. The seniors, as always, are brought to you by our good friends over at Performance Concrete and Polishing. If you've got some boring, ugly concrete out at your house, your business, whatever, these guys are going to make it look beautiful. They're going to make it easy to clean. They're going to get it all polished up, and they're going to get it looking nice. Give them a call, 515-202-6706. Check them out online, www.performanceconcretepolishing.com, or check out their showroom down there in Urbandale. Your home, your office, manufacturing, doesn't matter. The surfaces are going to look great after these guys are done with them. Give them a call. Check them out online. They provide a free quote. So
absolutely.
Anything you need, they'll get you set up.
Yep. Felt like you were describing me for a while, boring, ugly, and unpolished.
That's not true, man. That's what happens
this time of year for me.
You have way too many exciting stories to call you boring.
That's true. I do have a past. That's excellent. Perhaps a future.
Ted Flint told me he'll be here like the third week of June to be on the podcast.
Excellent.
So
he'll be a guest host.
Yeah.
When I'm... at the cabin.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you're not at the cabin this weekend.
Yeah, it's worked out with different members of the family, and you get certain parcels of time.
Uh-huh.
And ours is the second half of June, last week of July, and early August, so I'll have to hustle, finish that up, and get into all the fall camp festivities
right
after that. But so we'll be there twice. Be there. I'll tune in. I'll listen to you and Ted. I'm sure it'll be a hit.
It'll be a fun time. Definitely
drinking involved.
Obviously. so You've got a new piece up on the website right now. The first installment of your Where Are They Now?
Yes.
Series with former Iowa State quarterback / wide receiver Austin Flynn.
Yeah. What a great story. And I, again, I was in this kind of fog, and I'm not sure I did it full justice, but to a person you talk to about him, you know, humble is the word that comes to mind, but also driven. And I know he was a favorite among Cyclone fans, and went through the tough year. When I was talking to Lane Danielson, another obviously great Cyclone, that 2003 season in which Austin started as a redshirt freshman, everything was, it's just like, what domino is going to fall next? They had injuries, they had an extra tough schedule. When the divisions were split up that year, they had Texas and Oklahoma on their schedule from the Big 12 South, and I believe, and just tough schedule, some tough losses, a tough finish, you know. And obviously, Brett Meyer, great Atlantic product, ended up winning the quarterback job from Austin the next season. And, you know, Austin, to his credit, was just itching to get on the field and really just, could I play receiver? You know, he'd never done it. You know, quarterback was his identity. He'd won as a quarterback down in, you know, the Houston area throughout. I mean, that's what he knew. But he got on the field, very solid receiver. You know, great compliment to guys like Todd Blythe and a good group of guys there that competed so closely for Big 12 North titles the following couple of years.
How many people did you talk to for this story?
I ended up talking, I think, to four, and I had a few other calls out there and just didn't connect. But Joe Woodley was a wild man linebacker, was kind enough to chat with me, and Mike Woodley, his dad, has been coaching forever, was an assistant, sort of on his way out from Iowa State, and when Austin Flynn was coming in. And then, of course, Danielson toasted him on a visit. You know, it's just fun catching up with those guys. And when you talk to Austin, I sat down with him in the in his office at Grandview, where they won a national title two seasons ago, 2013. Just you get that total sense of the humility, but also just a guy that you can tell who wouldn't want to hang out with that guy, you know. So it was a pleasure to do that. We'll probably be football and men's basketball heavy on the Where Are They Nows and 90s and up most of the time, but already got the wheels turning. They're churning toward another one, probably a hoops one.
Are they? Up.
We'll see. I don't really want to throw a name out there when I'm not sure who I'll be able to get a hold of and all that. But so many great candidates, and Austin Flynn was a great one too. I really appreciate him taking the time to sit down and talk to me.
I've got a new podcast starting tomorrow by myself with a rotating number of hosts.
Yeah, you can float a boat yourself. I know that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm going to have YMCA Cap City League Commissioner Derek Hanna, as well as two Cap City League coaches on the podcast tomorrow.
That'll be great. And Derek's a great guy as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll...
I'm thinking they're going to have some really good league stories.
Yeah, yeah. And so many players have gone through that, too. You know.
Some characters.
I'm trying to remember. Who was it? Did Halas Cook break Sharon Dorsey Walker's scoring record, or is that still Stan?
I think it still stands.
Okay. I know Naz had planned on breaking it before the hip issues happened, and he said he's going to play again. He might might take that down, but you know, the dunks by, you know, Deontay Burton. And
yeah, he scored 50 in a couple games last year. I can't remember what Dorsey Walker's record is.
I can't remember exactly what it is either.
I want to say it's like 63. Mm-hmm. I know Deontay had 52. I think that was the most he ever had.
Yeah.
That was like the high for the season last year.
Cortland Jackson set that league on fire.
Yeah, he was the league MVP last year.
Yep.
He killed it down at Southern Mississippi.
Yeah. I mean, he's a nice athlete. Hoover High School. Got a good fit for him there.
Yeah, definitely. So, over the weekend, some really sad news on, was that Saturday?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so Saturday morning, I was at the U.S. Cellular store down on South Duff here in Ames and start seeing stuff on my phone and come to find out that former Cyclone basketball player Bryce John Jones had passed away from a gunshot wound down in Dallas. Really sad story, dude. I mean, I kind of just sat there for a minute and I just looked at the floor. I was like, what the hell, man? Like, why does this keep happening?
Yeah, it's so tragic. And as the details, you know, coalesced and you see all the pieces of it, it's just senseless. You know, you can go a bunch of ways with this, but that, I mean, I know as far as Iowa State fans, I mean, I remember in his season, I wanted so much to like him
right.
as a player because there's a lot to like about him. And I think that he very quickly got a reputation based on that erroneous arrest,
right?
Or at least non-kosher, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, everything got dropped. But as kind of a malcontent, and we know how the end of the season went down and all that. But just a guy that clearly had a troubled past, mm-hmm. bounced around, but I think he really, really, really was committed to being the best player that he could be.
Right.
He just couldn't always, you know, hem in his emotions or corral everything, channel it in the right way. You know, so when he signs with the Pelicans, 3-year deal, I mean, he's got his life going in the right direction. I think most Cyclone fans are happy for him. And, you know, despite any issues with you know, a few games here and there, and then, you know, he gets hurt with them, and you hear about this out of the blue. It's just such a sad deal because I'm sure he had a, you know, you see all the former and current players, you know, putting out their tributes on social media. You know, probably a pretty misunderstood guy, and just another situation of a guy being in the wrong place at the wrong time and thinking he's not in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it just, I don't know. Tragedy is just, you know, it's a word that's thrown around a lot, but I mean, in an individual case, I can't think of a better one. Cause that, you know, that didn't need to happen.
Right.
That just didn't need to happen at all.
And you know, when he had his mind right, he was so much fun to watch on the basketball yep. court, dude. You know, when he was knocking down his jumper and he was getting into the lane and throwing down dunks and it was – you could see that NBA potential.
Yep.
Like, you could see where he was going to go to the league and he was going to be successful.
Yeah.
Just he needed a little bit of time. Yep. And it's just – it's crappy, dude. It really is. It's crappy. And, you know –
Totally is. That Arkansas game, he was just on fire. Some of the dunks he had. I know he probably occasionally made Fred want to pull his hair out with mm-hmm. the proclivity for long twos. Fred used to give me a hard time when I used the word proclivity, so I guess I'll throw that in there. But such a smooth shot. Such a dynamic player, as you said. When he had his head right, and you know, R.I.P. for sure, because that's just, I mean, it's you know, I said senseless. It's beyond senseless. You know, that just, his heart should still be beating, and he should still be, you know, reaching for something more like he has been. And
right.
Unfortunately, that's not the case.
I think it must be like being the same age as him. It just kind of, it hits me harder. I don't know. Maybe it just hits it. I don't remember ever like being as bummed about like a basketball player dying or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you relate a little bit more, and it's the same though. If you're just around people, I mean, I interviewed him enough that, you know, he had his go-to line. I'm just here to do what I can to help the team win. Mm-hmm. You know, he said that all the time. And you just remember those eyes. You remember the promise. And I get where you're coming from, too. I mean, you're that close in age. What, he was 2 years older than you?
Yeah.
You know, just a terrible situation. And obviously our thoughts and or prayers and everyone's, I hope, go out to him and his family, to his family for sure. Because and close friends and people in the Cyclone family, because that's just a tragic loss that didn't need to occur.
The Cyclone family's losing too many youngins, dude.
Yeah.
So Juwan Wesley left the football team.
Yeah.
It sounds as though it might have been kind of a mutual decision between the football coaching staff and Juwan, but. Yeah, so Iowa State's, I believe he was their second returning receiver, is out.
Yeah.
Going to have to fill that hole.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously DeVario Montgomery got shipped off. And
I heard he was going to Marshall. I don't know if anybody really? Ever really.
It's going to be the next Randy Moss.
That, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, he is going to Marshall. So he had to have graduated then, I think, here.
He must have, yeah, because he's going to play D1 then right away. You know,
nobody quote me on that, but I'm like 95% sure that he ended up at Marshall.
Gotcha. Wesley was a guy that, you know, he'd have a big game, big catch, and then you'd hear about him being in the doghouse. And then big game, good catch, being in the doghouse. It seemed to be a recurring sort of thing under the Rhodes regime, and it must have continued, you know, under Campbell and company.
He made that really nice catch, that one, for the touchdown. Was that against Iowa?
He's a nice player. I mean, he's got some skills. He's got some quickness, good hands. But for whatever reason, just and we're not privy to know what's going on inside his head either, but certainly wish him well wherever he lands. But you know, too bad it's ended up being a misfit for Iowa State.
And it definitely is that's a pretty big hit. You know, that receiving corps looked like it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And now you lose DeVario.
I think they still got guys though.
Oh, they still got guys, but I'm just saying it was still a hit. You know.
You know,
that's experience.
I'm intrigued by some of the guys we've hardly seen, like Orion Salters and Hakeem Butler.
Johnson, yep. If he can get back.
And Hakeem Butler, see him out. I mean, saw him just at the spring game. You look at that guy and you're like, wow. I mean, what a weapon as a receiver. I mean, makes Adam Lazard look like a point guard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's size-wise, length-wise. I think when you've got Lazard and you've got some emerging pieces of tight end and you've got obviously Chase Allen coming in and I think they'll be fine at the position, but you never like to see that kind of attrition at skill positions, particularly one that's kind of gone through a few things and emerged, and then finally, you know, a parting of ways.
We've also got a little bit of breaking news here on the seniors.
Yeah.
Steve Prohm has officially promoted Neil Berry to assistant coach. From special assistant to the head coach. So,
he wasn't,
not a surprise there, but
he wasn't very coy about that. Well, I mean, I know from tailgate tour stops when that was mentioned, reading your stuff, seemed like that's the direction that was indicating it was heading. You know, good for Neil Bear. What a nice guy, by the way, around that program. I mean, always quick to say hello and everything, and a huge opportunity for him. So I know some people want, you know, people are always thinking it's about splash hires sometimes and this and that, but
The thing is about college basketball assistant coaches, how many splash hires are there?
There really aren't any. No,
but unless people you hire still, someone that's a former head coach.
Yeah, people still pine for them. You know, like when I suppose when Fred had Doc Sadler on staff.
Right, in a way that's a splash.
It's kind of a, I guess, kind of as a defensive guru. It's kind of a
well, he'd been splash. A head coach at a pretty high level on multiple occasions. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's about the only way you can get a splash hire in college basketball, I say.
Yeah.
I'd say a guy that got fired somewhere else.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I would agree. And as far as, you know, Prohm trusts Neil Berry. He's been in the program. Their relationship dates back. So, you know, coming off of Sweet 16, got this tremendous guard court. We'll see what happens with the front court.
He was the lead recruiter for Anthony Gill to South Carolina when he went there before he ended up at Virginia to kick the Cyclones' butt last in March.
They played their best game of the year that day.
Yeah.
Virginia did. I mean, they were a good team all year, but it was so weird watching how they dismantled the Cyclones and then they themselves were dismantled. Where they looked like a team that couldn't be dismantled, you know, when you play that kind of defense. But, man, if you can shoot it and get them out of sorts, you know, it could have been the Cyclones dismantling them. Wasn't their day. But, congrats to Neil Berry. And, you know, should be a good fit.
Definitely. I mean,
Coach Prohm clearly took a lot of big steps. I know he was questioned by the fan base, some segments of the fan base quite a bit at times, but to overcome Naz's injury and a number of other things to reach the Sweet 16, that's a very solid debut season. So in Prohm we trust at this point, right?
I didn't even realize that he played for Prohm and Billy Kennedy at Southeastern Louisiana.
I think I remember that from the bio when he was brought on in the kind of, you know, I don't want to say lesser assistant role, you know, and all that. But, yeah, no dungeon, though.
No.
Didn't go back to the Centenary dungeon.
No, definitely. One more thing to note, a little bit of recruiting news. The Cyclones lost one of their – well, they didn't really lose a commit, but linebacker Braden Boyd – from Katy, Texas, no longer committed to the Cyclones. Kind of a – I kind of think that this might have been a deal where Iowa State let him go, or it kind of was just another one of those mutual parting of ways.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be another spot for the Cyclones. I think they're down to 10 commits now.
Yeah. They promising guy, and I know you interviewed him.
Yeah.
And I think your impression was pretty, you know, he's pretty gung-ho. He's ready to roll. But, you know, things happen. And you just hope that in this case, this is, you know, best case scenario for both Iowa State and him to be in kind of different directions.
Right.
He was a 3-star, like just about everybody in the class, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but he was he was the number 52 inside linebacker in the class, according to 247. So
they're starting to build up a nice stockpile of linebackers again. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things that are happening with Campbell and company, and this is something also when I talked to Austin Flynn, Lane Danielson, you know, I think one thing Austin said was, why not?
Right.
For about everything that Campbell does, whether it be social media and everything else. And I just envisioned, you know, he's got this why not checklist. and he hits every single one of them. Every single one of them that would be positive and appropriate. You know, you're building up. You know, when Iowa State's good, the blueprint would seem to be load up your defense. Because, look, guys that play defense will play anywhere.
Right.
They don't need it to be warm weather. In fact, sometimes they don't like it to be. So always have an excellent defense. Have a team that can run the football. Obviously, they're working on the offensive line with graduation losses and other things there. But, you know, the blueprint is fine. You know, so you lose a piece like that, a pretty highly rated inside linebacker. That hurts in one sense, but you're ahead of the curve here at this point. So looks like it's being built right way.
And if it makes you wonder if it was a mutual parting of ways. Maybe Iowa State thinks they've got a good chance that somebody else might be a little bit better, you know? And that's just part of the world of college football recruiting.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Or maybe there's another bit of position need that they want to slide somebody in to, and they like how some of the guys are developing. I mean, we know how good Willie Harvey is and Jordan Harris is going to be a senior, and, you know, there's a lot of guys, that, you know, could be poised for a breakthrough of sorts this season in the linebacker core.
Right. So, even though the guy decommitted, I would not say that the sky's falling by any means.
No, not at all.
All right, you got anything else, dude? We've gone about 25 minutes. We don't have a top five today.
Not really. We'll roll the top fives back in shortly. But and again, as always, appreciate everyone that submits them. No, just trying to. I'm kind of 80% well right now. I need to get up to 100%.
Yeah, we got to get you back. Indeed. Drink lots of orange juice and vitamin C.
Yeah. I'll throw some vitamins. I got to down a bunch of vegetable stuff or something.
Ugh. Rabbit food.
It's good for you, though, man.
I guess so. All right. So make sure and check out my podcast with Derek Hanna tomorrow. Get on the site. Check out Rob's Where Are They Now piece. It's really good. I'm about to read it right after we get off the air right here. Adam and I should have the recruiting podcast on Friday. Of course, the podcast later in the week as well. Stay tuned to Cyclone.com. The rest of the week for Iowa State News. I'm Jared Stansberry for Rob Gray. Thanks for listening.
Peace.